going to the hurry-up offense.
Hi and hello, football fans. Maurice Jones-Drew and Ike Taylor here in Studio 66 for the Dave Dameshek football program, presented as always by McDonald's. Want to tell you about the McPick 2 that McDonald's has going on, but real quick, it's time for the hurry-up, Andy Reid style or otherwise. Fellas, let's get into it. Ike Taylor, did the Eagles make the right choice by going with Carson Wentz as their week one starter?
I'm sorry.
There you go.
No,
we're
question.
In a hurry, Ike. No,
no
go
question.
Ahead.
Yes.
Really?
I think
why?
We made it right. Sam Bradford to Sam Bradford. You know, his record isn't bad as a starter, but it's not that good. You just want a guy who's confident in himself, and that's Carson Wentz. Sam Bradford, when they drafted Carson Wentz, he showed me what he was, meaning how would y'all draft a high quarterback at that pick, and y'all just paid me. Knowing competing, man, going to bring the best or the worst out of somebody. For me, it just looked like as a starter, looking over his shoulder wasn't good for him, for his confidence. So I'm going to go with Carson Wentz all day.
Maurice.
I thought the value what they got for him. You know, you trade Sam Bradford, you get a first and possibly a second, depending on how far the Vikings go. I mean, who cares who your starting quarterback is? You're going to be able to build around him. So you get a guy in, get him in there early. You have a decent enough offensive line to protect him. You're going to run the ball. You have Darren Sproles, another guy to protect him as well. Then you trade for probably the biggest wide receiver in the game in Dorial Green-Beckham. It seems like they're building this offense to protect that young quarterback, and that's what you do when you have a young guy.
I like where your heads are at, by the way. You mentioned Sam Bradford. We're going to jump in on the Vikings. We got to talk a little bit of Colts and AFC South. We want to talk about Maurice Jones-Drew, burgeoning broadcast career, and Broncos and Panthers. It's kicking all things off. I'm with you guys. I like Carson Wentz. It provides hope to Philadelphia fans. Do you anticipate Chase Daniel ending the season holding the Lombardi Trophy? No. If the answer is yes, then you roll with Chase Daniel. In the meantime, though, what is the ceiling on that? It's not the Super Bowl, so you may as well go with the kid, right? The goal is to win the title in the NFL.
Chase is upset, though. I got an email.
I know he's upset.
He was a little upset about the decision.
You got an email from him?
No. From, you know, how we get the group emails. They send
out
all their stories. That's it. I read it this morning while I was on the toilet. It was awesome.
All right. College. Oh, by the way, I should also mention, very exciting, we've got Chuck Todd of Meet the Press coming up at the end of the show. Very excited to kibitz with him. But college football is now underway, and boy, what a grand weekend it was. That Texas and Irish game was one of the best I've seen. I would say top 10, top 20 college football games I've watched. Really entertaining, and Ole Miss and Florida State at least look good. Anyway, many storylines emerged there, but why do they get to only have fun with Final Four talk? NFL also has a Final Four called Championship Weekend. Who's going to be in it, Maurice?
Oh, for the NFL?
That's right.
Okay. I have Pittsburgh. I have Kansas City. And then I have I had Minnesota, but I don't have them anymore. I'll go.
We're going to get in on them. I'm not willing to necessarily announce they're done yet, but we'll
go
about
Seattle
them.
And Carolina.
Okay. Ike.
Pittsburgh and Green Bay.
Pittsburgh and Green Bay in the Super Bowl. Who do the Steelers defeat to get to 51?
The Patriots, right back in it.
Really? And where will that game be played?
In Pittsburgh.
Ooh, that sounds fine to me. And?
In Pittsburgh.
And who do the Packers defeat?
I hate to say this. You're going to be mad. The Vikings.
I'm not mad about that in the least. I go the Patriots over the Steelers. But I do kind of like the Chiefs as well. I just think the AFC is very soft once you get past New England. And
the AFC is very soft.
Yeah, unless Pittsburgh – everything has to break right for Pittsburgh to be able to match up with New England. They can't keep having
Kansas
the injuries.
Kansas City has
like KC all right.
I think KC beats New England.
You think KC in January strikes fear in Belichick and company?
I think they saw the plan, the blueprint to beat Tom Brady and the Patriots. You remember when they faced them the first time, they played this soft zone coverage and a rally and tackle. I think it's going to be completely different. Press man, we're going to let our front five beat your front five, and we're going to get after your quarterback.
What was the score for the Pittsburgh and Patriots game last year?
It ended up, what, a seven-point game?
Was no, they didn't close? Play. They didn't play. They played the Broncos.
No, I'm talking about
in the
first game.
Week of the season, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, they had a shot. They had a legit shot. I remember – Hayward Bay dropped one in the end zone. Mm-hmm. I do remember that. I remember the defense getting fluttered at first. Then when they finally settled down, they start to handle their business. So, yeah, I see what you're saying. I mean, our record overall against the Patriots ain't good at all. But at the same time, they had a fighting chance. They just didn't close.
Well, the old assumptions I had about that Tom Brady would just spread the Steelers out when Dickie LeBeau was the DC are no longer relevant because Keith Butler will give different looks. The X factor of the entire AFC.
Coach Tomlin would give different looks.
Oh, really?
Really.
What do you mean? What are you saying? So Keith, Coach, so Tomlin tells Keith Butler?
That's Tomlin defense.
Oh, interesting insights.
You didn't
there.
Know that?
Let me. Well, I didn't. I don't know that Tomlin is the overlord.
Coach Keith, no disrespect. But that's
there
Tomlin.
It goes.
Can I tell you this? Maybe this is hyperbolic, but I believe this. This is a name a little under the radar to make such a big statement. The X factor of the entire AFC this year is Ryan Shazier. I think the inside linebacker of the Steelers, the first-round draft pick 2 years ago, if he plays to his potential and can stay on the field, he is a guy who can be a hybrid like Honey Badger is in the secondary among linebackers and can cover Gronk and Martellus Bennett. That I mean, you need to be able to stop the Patriots. You need guys that are going to be able to take out those tight ends. And I think Shazier at his best can do it.
If he stays on the field.
That's what I said.
But he can't cover both.
But he can't cover both for one. Two, for that AFC championship game in Cincinnati, he dominated.
I agree.
Like, he had a forced fumble. He had tackles. He had a fumble recovery. Him just the last – that the end of that third quarter – to the end of the game, that was the Ryan Shazier show. So you saw a glimpse of what he can do because that's a primetime game. It's just having Shazier on the field every game. And it's been hard since he stepped in the league. I think he only played 26 games, man, in 3 years, which is hard.
I also I don't want to sleep on the Texans and discount their chances. I know everybody's nervous about Osweiler. Love the skill position guys they have. They're already banged up on the offensive line, though. That's a problem. Defensively, though, they could be the best defense in the NFL.
No.
Why no?
Because they don't have the corners.
Yes, they do. What do you mean?
Ooh.
What do you mean? Kevin Johnson, for one, is terrific. They have three good corners.
Jonathan Joseph.
Listen, you're talking when you talk about the best defense. I'm talking about from top to bottom. If you look at Denver, pass rushers. They have inside linebackers who can cover.
Right.
They have safeties who can hit and cover somewhat. They have three number one corners on that secondary.
Then what they were talking about possibly trading.
I know, but they immediately said
that. They nipped that in the butt.
But that's what I'm saying, though. When you have the reigning Super Bowl MVP who averages 12 sacks a season, I mean, and then you have DeMarcus Ware, then you have Shane Ray. I mean,
Shane Ray, another X factor, but there's no Malik Jackson. Rick is going to replace him,
but
maybe.
Malik Jackson, your rushing five. He was getting pressure because of Von Miller and DeMarcus
Ware. This I looked at Denver. Like, John Elway was looking ahead of the game. He knew some guys was going to leave. He was putting all his chips to win the Super Bowl. He wound up winning the Super Bowl. So now your Shane Ray's come into effect. Your DeMarcus Ware still coming into effect. He's still playing at a high level because Von Miller.
Well, he was last time we saw him, but he's at that age where he might just fall off a cliff.
Denver has three starters at cornerback position, which is hard. It's hard to have three starters at that cornerback position. I feel like they're not cheating, but they figured it out too.
They can match up with anybody.
Yeah, they can match up with anybody. Let's not forget about the Arizona Cardinals.
Going back to you,
is the answer to that.
The Houston Texans, they are my sleeper team. I really believe the Houston Texans are going to make a lot of noise this year.
Ike, you're my guy, and we rarely disagree, but I have to firmly and respectfully say you're absolutely wrong. I think that Brock Osweiler, after what we saw of him last year, they completely overpaid him. And that's the reason Denver let him go. You paying a guy $17 million a year, and it comes with expectation. You know that. When you get those big contracts, people expect things. And if you can't deliver, then that's when the pressure comes. And so can he handle pressure? We don't know. You're not in a system like Gary Kubiak's, which is ABC, EFD. It's not the alphabet. You're in a system that's complex. Tom Brady's been running the system for how many ever years, and if you don't know it, you struggle a little bit.
Did you just say ABC, EFD?
No, I'm just saying it's the alphabet.
Yeah.
Just threw it out there.
I know, but that wasn't the
– Yeah, but
no, I feel like – don't forget, they wanted to pay Brock. Brock just didn't want to take it. Houston just paid him a little bit more. Brock still, he left because he felt some kind of way by them taking him out.
And what the thing, the cynics out there who knock Brock Osweiler for how he looked last year with Denver when obviously the philosophy was let defenses win. What did he do that stands out that was awful? Where was terrible decision making or crumbling under pressure? I mean under
Pittsburgh,
the emotional
against
pressure.
Pittsburgh, you have a 37 point lead and they come back and win? You can't move the ball in the second half?
Well, that was Antonio Brown going to work on Chris Harris.
But it has nothing to do with the offense. He didn't move the ball at all in that second half of the ball game. We watched it.
Yeah, we did. His second half stats as a quarterback wasn't too good. I would rather my quarterback start slow and finish off with great second half stats than start fast in the second half stats.
Well, you know what? If I'm Brock Osweiler and I'm in his corner, what I'm saying is the same thing I would have said to Alex Smith. We'll never know if you would have won the Super Bowl if we would have just stuck with you. What we know what the result was when we went the other way. You know, Brock Osweiler, for all we know, may have right now be the Super Bowl champ. Might have taken that team.
True.
You know what I mean.
But guess what?
As a starter, he wanted to start because he felt like what Peyton did.
Yes, he definitely did.
What Peyton did throughout that season. And for the Super Bowl, Peyton didn't throw a touchdown in the Super Bowl and an interception. I think Peyton had 100-some yards.
Oh, he
passing,
was horrible.
Passing. Brock felt like I could have did that.
I know.
Because just as a starter, it looked good on my resume.
We're going to get enough
as a starter
opportunity to see what he can do.
I can't wait.
I agree. And let me finish where I tried to start a few minutes ago. I will go Patriots over Pittsburgh in the AFC. Packers over the Seahawks or maybe the Cardinals, one of those two teams.
Carolina,
Packers defeat the Patriots. Brady v. Rodgers. Rodgers emerges victorious in a battle of the two best quarterbacks of the 21st century. Start the show! Yes, hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program presented by McDonald's and their McPick 2 for $5. You can get a 10-piece McNuggets, all white meat, quarter pounder with cheese, filet of fish, or a triple cheeseburger. I'm going McNuggets and triple cheeseburger, and that is that. But you know what?
That's your breakfast?
That's right. The big story is we made it. We made it through the offseason, everybody.
Check. We was fine.
Yeah. It was a little hard, you know, as it is every year.
It wasn't as hard as getting up that mountain last year.
You get antsy.
So, listen, nothing makes me happier than the return of football, save one thing, being joined in Studio 66 by the fellas, me and Maurice Jones-Drew, in case a little self-promotion. If you missed it, we are now a part of the Fantasy and Friends show, airing at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. Maurice, Adam Rank, Aaron Coscarelli, and me chopping it up there. We appreciate you checking that thing out.
It's a good show.
But you like it, Ike? You watched it?
Yeah, that's a good show.
I think you're going to like this show, too. The thing that makes me happier is getting to hang out with Ike and Maurice. Handsome Hank's not with us today. We'll write that sooner rather than later. In the meantime, let's say hello to him. Number 24, the Pittsburgh Steelers, two-time Super Bowl champ.
Born in Gretna, that's in New Orleans. Walked out in college, drafted to PA. Number 24 has got opinions for days. I-K-E-T-A-Y-L-O-R. Ike Taylor.
Yeah.
That's
the best thing going.
And
high five.
That's the best thing going right there.
Dorkiest high five ever. But, yeah, a video now, too, Ike. Does that make you like your intro a little bit better?
You can get rid of the song, but the video is awesome.
Yeah.
No, the video actually goes with the song.
It was hot. It was hot.
If you like that one, let's see how you enjoy this one of UCLA. I shouldn't have brought that up after what happened this weekend.
It happened.
That was too bad. The Jacksonville Jaguars, the Oakland Raiders. Maurice Jones-Drew.
Straight out of Oakland. That's where he's born and grown. Drafted by the Jaguar. Addicted to the end zone. Now he's all with Dameshek. Yeah, that's his new home. Some call him Maurice. We all call
It. You know what?
What do you think there, Maurice?
I loved it.
This I know the 2016 football season.
See?
Full effect.
We are now ready to roll there. Great work. And if you want to check that out, if you want to see it, go to NFL.com/podcasts. That's how you can check it out. Otherwise, we appreciate you subscribing and listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, NFL.com/podcasts, or beyond. All right, fellas. Like I say, oh, I got to talk about Game Pass real fast. Then we're going to talk about the first game of the season. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start a 7-day free trial. Live out-of-market preseason games. That's no longer relevant, so I'm going to cross a line through that. And then game replays during the regular season is good stuff there. So make sure you go to NFL.com/Game Pass. Yes, Murray?
Ike, you use Game Pass a lot, don't you?
No question.
Ike is
all the time.
Ike's breaking it down at all times. He's always breaking down the X's and O's. He's among the very best at doing that. And maybe the Steelers need your help figuring out some secondary guys, though, because they have not hit very much.
They came out with an article. Did you see it?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not very good. But at least, you know what?
Still trying to replace Ike.
Good luck to Doran Grant in his new home. But
Buffalo,
24,
right?
Yeah, but 24 is now back unworn now.
That's good.
Gilbert.
Oh, Justin Gilbert's going to take it. Oh,
yeah.
Maybe, you know
they
what? I'd like to talk Justin Gilbert, but all right, we have other things to kibitz about. Let's talk about Broncos, Panthers, Thursday night football. Maurice, jump in here. I'll say at the outset, I think the Panthers are going to win this one, and that goes against the trend. The home team that hosts that, if you're the home team, you're hosting it. The team that hosts the season kickoff always wins. They're usually the Super Bowl champion when they do it. The home team almost always wins this one. I think the Panthers buck that trend, though.
And it hurts me because my cousin texted me the other day saying, why did you pick the Chiefs to win the division? And I said, look, man, you have Mark Sanchez.
T.J. Ward is who you're talking about.
And I told him, I said, hey, man, don't be mad at me. Shoot, you had Mark Sanchez as quarterback. Laugh out loud, right? And then he hits back. Well, he's not here anymore. Laugh out loud. So he wants me to switch it back, but I have to stay strong.
Well, so send him back. But Trevor Siemian is laugh out loudest.
Out louder, right? No, I think they have too many new pieces in Denver on offense. It's a new. I think there's four new offensive linemen. It's a new quarterback. You add another running back. It's just too many new pieces for them to get going right away. I think that defense is going to be fine, but because that offense is going to struggle, Cam's going to have more opportunities in the red zone to either kick field goals or score points. I have Carolina winning.
I mean, it's a tough spot to drop the second year kid Siemian into as well. You know,
no,
big
it's not.
Stage. It's not? Why?
Because you got a good defense. You still have one of the best defenses in the league. One thing about Kubiak, he's not going to put too much strain on his quarterback. You still have Emmanuel Sanders. DT is probably one of the league's best receivers. You got a two-back system. You drafted a running back from Utah, Booker. C.J. Anderson looked like he came back in shape. Mm-hmm. In shape. So you can be handling the ball off a lot. When you get to this play action run game, man, just setting up from the run to the pass, it's one or two reads. So when you have a young quarterback who doesn't have to scan the field as much, you're going to give yourself an opportunity. He's not going to make as many mistakes. You're going to rely on your defense heavy. The only thing about that is from my defensive coordinator, after winning Super Bowls, offensive coordinators – going into the offseason, now they want to see how can they beat your defense. So now an adjustment from last year to this year, because they can't keep running the same defense they ran last year. It's a few tweaks they're going to have to do. So now you being a Super Bowl champs, do you have that hangover? Are you willing to get back mentally? Do you want to get back? A lot of people got paid. A lot of people left. New people came in. That's what I looked at when we played. Like, we had a hangover or two, just winning Super Bowls. And people adjust. And you're going to get every team best shot, regardless on what the record is. They're going to get up.
People always say that. That's a real thing. It's a real thing. Oh, it's the Broncos are here.
They're going to get up. They're going to get up to play you. Just look what the Warriors did throughout the season. Like, they held it down consistently for the regular season, but they got every team's best shot because they were the champions. Same thing with football, man. You're going to get the team's best shot because of what you did last year. Carolina side, though, you got Calvin Benjamin back. You got Cam wanting to be the league's MVP.
That's the vibe I get. I get the vibe, you know, because you say the hangover, the Super Bowl hangover. Recent history suggests that the team that suffers is the one that loses the Super Bowl. They're the ones that fall off. I just get the vibe, and I'm just reading, you know, body language and so on. But I feel like Carolina is not going to go away, and it's telling that when we were just going through a few minutes ago who the NFC contenders are going to be, we didn't mention Carolina. I feel like we've collectively kind of been like, all right, well, so that was a fun little thing. But now the Packers are back and the Seahawks and everything else. I feel like that Carolina can rightly say 15-1 wasn't a mirage just because we had a couple bad turnovers in the Super Bowl. I think that they're still relevant and right in this thing and maybe have the number one seed.
They had six turnovers in the Super Bowl. This is what you got to understand about Green Bay and AR-15. Man, he still held it down without Jordy Nelson. Like, he did a lot, got his team to the playoffs without his main guy. Cam did the same thing, too, without Calvin Benjamin. I think that was probably Cam's best – one of his best seasons. But I think Cam having a go-to guy would kind of hurt him. If you just look at the preseason, he's been going to Calvin Benjamin a lot, and it hasn't been looking good. When he scans the field, when he sees a Ted Ginn, when he sees a Brown –
I was just going to say, Philly Brown had nobody talks about that, but he had a great Super Bowl.
Listen.
I talked about it.
Listen, Philly Brown, the first, he had 81 yards, 81 to 87 yards in the first half.
And he was whipping Aqib Talib on most of those.
He had eight, whatever it was 80-something in the first half.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Sanders had 80-something yards total. This dude had 80-something yards. If he didn't get hurt, the outcome would have been different.
And now he's your three. And plus Greg Olsen out there. I mean, they have a legitimate collection of pass catchers now. Yeah.
But we talked about this at the Super Bowl, and I just remember us talking. That was a bad matchup for Talib.
Yes.
Talib needs to cover bigger guys. So Funchess,
Kelvin.
Those guys, if he can cover those guys, because they move the same, right? They're slower out of their breaks. He's slower out of his breaks. But when you go to a guy that's quick out of those breaks and can – be shifty.
It's a little bit different.
It's a little bit different. That's what you have Roby and Chris Harris for. And so I think that's one of the reasons I say the Broncos always will have a chance, because they have three corners that can match up with anybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Bottom line, I'm taking the Panthers. Maurice?
Panthers.
Yeah, I'm going with the Panthers.
Ooh, how about that? We're all taking the road team. All right, now it is time for the return. We did it last week, dead or alive.
If your team is playing down, the shake is saying we if you're dead or alive,
old school.
Dead or alive.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to check in on some key pigskin issues, and you tell me, dead or alive. Ike, I start with you. The importance of NFL preseason, is it dead or alive?
It's alive.
It is.
Yeah, you need your preseason, man. That's the time to evaluate.
The preseason games, though, I mean. Now, that's really what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you got to, man. That's where the owners make all their money. One.
that's we're talking about five. But that's all you have to say. I don't want to step on your toes. But, I mean, what we're really talking about is
– cash. But
you're talking about this entire month and these four games. I understand what it means to the league and to the owners.
It's an evaluation period, Shaq.
But when you talk about the personnel evaluation, you're really talking about 4 to 6 personnel spots on the roster.
Not really.
You're not talking about anything else. I mean, you know who the starters are.
You never know.
For the most part. You don't need four preseason games.
Yeah, you definitely need four preseason games. And it's the reason why you need four. One, it's going to be a change in starters, meaning you know you got your offseason. You know you have your draft picks. So your offensive line from last year might not be the same offensive line this year. You might get you a second-round draft pick, so you want to put them in the mix to see if it works. You might get you a free agent guy, you want to put them in the mix to see if it works.
Those are nice stories, but you can establish that in scrimmages amongst yourselves.
That's the thing. As much as you like to hit, as much as I like to hit, just hitting my teammate wasn't as satisfying as hitting another team.
All right, well, that's what you have 16 games for.
No, you still have to go through that process, and that process is evaluating. Just like veteran guys still trying to say they got it. Younger guys trying to be up and coming. From an evaluation standpoint, just looking at it from a GM perspective, man, you need them four games. You need them four games, man. Like, you got young kids instead of playing the first half, you might play them the whole. Like, my third year starting. My third year. They wanted a clear evaluation. So I started with the starters. Still had to play the whole game. So when the second team came out, I was with them. When the third team came out, I was with them. They just wanted to see, one, was I ready physically? Two, mentally, all right, he knows the starters out. He's with the second and third group. Is he still going to play at a high level? Because with the second and third group come in, I still need my starter to look like a starter. I don't want my starter looking like a second or third tier guy. Mm-hmm. So let me check and see. That's why you have these games. That's why you have the preseason. It's a clear evaluation from the coach's standpoint and from the general manager's scouting standpoint.
Maurice.
I'm going to have to piggyback off what Ike said. First of all, when you're talking about money, right? The league, what people don't understand, that they're still selling tickets at the same price as regular season.
I get it. I think
you're
people
paying players,
understand
but,
that that's what
but,
it's about.
But you're paying players $400 a week. That's what you're making, right?
And couple of dollars.
So you're talking about that's where the bulk of this money comes from, one. And then, two, when you talk about evaluation, you're talking about, let's say where it happens to the Vikings, right? Teddy Bridgewater hurts his knee. Well, if you only have two preseason games and you're playing the first regular season game and his knee blows out week one, we don't know who's going to be able to go in and play. So you need all these because you need to see what guys will be able to do and how you – I talk about evaluation, but how they play under pressure. That fourth preseason game, I remember playing in that.
The whole game.
No. I'm going to tell you what happened. They were like, look, there was three of us. It was myself, LeBrandon Tofield, and Alvin Pearman. And they were like, look, ooh, you three are fighting for the backup.
LeBrandon Tofield.
Yeah,
all right.
Shoe. Yeah, it was big. And they were like, you guys are battling for the backup spot behind Fred Taylor. Now, this was the rules, though. Everybody gets a quarter, but don't come to the sideline looking. Don't do this. Don't tap your head. You got to go out there and win this thing, right? So I got my quarter. I was doing my thing. I was tired. And I looked to the sideline. Everybody turned their back. They were like, no, don't even look over here, right? And so that's just – they put you in situations because if I would have never done that, there was a point throughout the season where Fred got hurt and I had to play the whole game because there was only two of us active. And so if I wasn't prepared in that way, shape, or form, I would never been ready for the regular season.
Reps, man.
All right. Let's see what the on-call doctor has to say. NFL preseason games, dead or alive. It's dead. It's dead. I'm sorry, guys. I know you guys played.
Did you?
That's a fan thing because they don't want to see it. But as a that's like saying
no.
I'm gonna give you a better example. Me and Ike first started together in what, August?
Yeah.
And if you would have saw some of the stuff we were doing in August, you'd have been like,
horrible.
Get these two out of here.
Why did I
understand. But again, as I said, you can resolve all these things that you're talking about with scrimmages amongst
yourselves. There's nothing – that's a controlled environment.
Yeah.
Imagine, I know. Here's an uncontrollable
environment.
My retort to everything you said is, if preseason games were essential, then how come college teams don't need them?
Look how bad they look. Look how bad some of those guys have looked.
But they don't have preseason.
Look at Tennessee.
This first week was preseason.
Look at Tennessee. Look what Tennessee did.
So your top 25, a lot of teams, I think it was seven, a lot of teams.
Yeah, we were one of them. Gone.
Didn't look too good.
Next up, you mentioned Sam Bradford. Of course, that is the biggest story of the last seven or so days. The Vikings' playoff chances with Sam Bradford under center, number eight now. He's back to number eight. How say you here? Wait, he was 13 at Oklahoma. No, he was 8 at Oklahoma. Anyway.
It don't matter.
Whatever it is.
He ain't getting back to Oklahoma.
I think it does matter, and that's a discussion for another time. How one chooses his jersey number is interesting to me. But anyhow, answer the question. The Vikings' playoff chances with Sam Bradford.
They have a good defense, but it has to be a wild card. So I'm going to say they're alive. They make it.
You're saying they will get a wild
card. I say they make the wild card. Yeah.
Ike Taylor, how say you?
I agree. There was a field goal away last year. And Teddy, they didn't open a playbook with Teddy last year. They tried. They kept it neutral. You know how you have that hot medium and mild sauce? Mm-hmm. They kept it medium for Teddy last year opening that playbook. I think they're going to do the same thing with Sam. As much as they probably want to open that playbook, you can't. Like, we're going to stick to our code, our G code. What's your G code? Defense. Because I know Zimmerman loves his defense. The defense played lights out. And you got AP in the backfield.
I also think the biggest thing, it's so funny, Sam Bradford is like, oh, my God, he's going to be the best now. He has a team with weapons. Like, no, he's Sam Bradford.
Yes.
He's always going to be Sam
Bradford. All right. Nobody thinks he's going to be the best. But that's all you've been hearing. But this is his best situation.
But what does that mean? Tom Brady's been in some horrible situations with receivers and still been able to put up.
I don't think anybody considers Sam Bradford a guy who can carry a
media. We just make a lot of excuses for Sam. You know, at first it was St. Louis, and then it was Philly. He's going to be better. No, he was the same guy.
Sam told you about Sam when they drafted Carson Wentz.
Thank you.
I agree with that. But, you know, I'll tell you, if we need another point to go against preseason games, Sam Bradford is in the running to start in week one. If it were so important that he be a part of the organization, he'll have been there 8 days and he could start. That invalidates talk about preseason games in there.
First of all, it's because he's a vet, one. And two, we're going to see how he looks when he plays. And then we'll see how Carson Wentz looked and when he plays week one, too. Since everybody wants to talk about preseason, neither one of them had a preseason with that team. Right? Carson Wentz might have played, two quarters?
Yeah.
Well, let's see what happens come week one and then how they both look. Because the Wentz is playing the Browns. And I want to say the Vikings are playing.
Who the Vikings playing, Ryan? The first week. Who the Vikings playing?
First week. We're looking that up.
All right. While we do that, let's check with the doctor on call. The Vikings playoff chances with Sam Bradford, dead or alive.
Who's his doctor?
It's alive. No, it goes. It goes against the HIPAA rules, so, you know, the doctor-patient privileges. I can't tell you who the doctor is.
Hey, guys, they're at Tennessee.
At Tennessee.
Oh, yeah, they're going to get you're going to get a good dose of that running game.
A good dose.
You sick? You feeling sick? We're going to give you a dose
of
that.
Can I tell you
game.
Something, first of all? The Vikings will go 10-6, and they will sneak in as the sixth seed in the mighty NFC. No small feat.
Because Sam's never played a playoff game. Does he –
Yeah,
play
he's
well.
Your QB. Like we say, the defense is good. The same things that we're talking about with the Houston Texans are in place with the Vikes. They're going to be able to run the ball. And by the way, for the people that say this was a terrible move, they overpaid to get Sam Bradford, yeah, they paid a ton. But you have to look at the circumstances. If you're the Browns, should you do something like that? No, but you're the Vikings, and you're built to win in 2016. The Vikings, before Teddy Bridgewater goes down, are thinking Super Bowl. And I think they have a realistic shot at it. And you know, you wait another year, that's one more year of Adrian Peterson. And you don't know when that's the way – I hate to say ticking time, Bob, about a human being. But, you know, in the NFL, as you guys know – It's not a gentle decline. When it ends, it just ends overnight, and you don't know when that's going to be.
You got to understand, that's not for everybody. Like, AP really think he can play the 40. And I think
– Good for him. It's not true. He can't play until he's 40.
It's probably not true, but look
if
at
he
his –
He plays until 38. That's close enough.
But look at what he did last year. Like, having that year off, and I'm sure it will rejuvenate you. I don't know how many years or how many more plays. He was the league's best rusher last year, right?
Remember, people fail to realize he had a year off at 29 or I want to say 29 or 28, a full year.
A full year to
where
recover.
Where he didn't get hit, he recovered. That adds a couple years onto your career. I'm just saying.
All right. But I mean, but you do.
Do he look like he's declining?
Okay. I also think, though, it's a funny thing. The last person on the face of the earth you should ask about how long they're going to play is the guy himself. Of course, your egos are a part of why you are professional athletes. You can't acknowledge that it's over. It's done.
I did.
I know, but very few guys.
Too. Yeah, he did.
I know. I'm talking to the two wrong guys here, but most guys really struggle to acknowledge.
I get it.
All right, it's over.
Yeah, but I had to, you know, sometimes you just,
hey, I'm gonna AP, move on. AP, I don't see, so far, I don't see any kind of decline with AP.
At all.
Well, you know what? He's a human being, and so it is going to happen.
Yeah, it is.
That's unavoidable.
He's not your average human being.
Speaking of decline, the Colts, believe it or not, in the last 13 years in the AFC South, there's been the AFC South for 14 years now. In the last 13, the Colts have won it 9 times. If you look closely, though, the Texans have won it 3 times in the last 5 years. Is it now in 2016, the Colts' ownership of the AFC South, which really it lines up with just about with the Patriots' dominance in the AFC East. Is the Colts' ownership of the South dead or alive, Ike Taylor?
Oh, man, dead. It's going to be dead until they start – until they get a legit running back. A legit. I just think they put too much on Luck's plate. Entirely too much.
Mm-hmm.
He's been on fire. Yeah, he has a ton of passing yards the last couple of years, but he's been hurt the last couple of years. Have they been owning the AFC South? Of course. It's fact and the record proven. But I just think they put too much on Luck's plate. I think he just dropped back too much. Yeah, he's a big guy. He can handle it just like a Cam. He's a shorter version of a Cam. He just take too many hits. The offensive line has been an issue for a while and still is. Until they get them a running back, because they got the receivers. They got Moncrief. He's going to explode this year. He's up and coming. You can just ask Coach Belichick about him. T.Y. Hilton is a Pro Bowler. The running back situation, man, I think they need to find them a legit franchise running back to help out Andrew Luck with the passing game.
You compare Luck to Cam Newton.
Body-wise.
Physically, yeah, yes. I know. But I also point to Cam Newton is a resilient guy to this point in his career. I might refer you to Ben Roethlisberger. The big guy, it's an irony about football that the big guy, you think, well, he's just going to knock everybody else around, but look at Gronk. Gronk suffers injuries. The big guy is taking a ton of licks, the best shots multiple times from defenders, and that causes physical attrition. Earl Campbell is maybe the best example in NFL history. It's why Jerome Bettis is such an anomaly and such a phenom that he lasted as long as he did playing that style of ball. Anyway, point is, Roethlisberger is injured a lot. Andrew Luck doesn't want to wind up that way. The Colts don't want him winding up that way, just constantly limping on and off the field like that.
Campbell took that load, though. It wasn't a 1-2 punch back in the day. It was, man, you take all 32 carries.
If it was a 40-carry game, you take it.
Yep.
You take a 40. These days, man, they got legit. I mean, DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry, there go a case in point right there. Them guys – they sharing the load right now. I think this generation finally, and MJD, he loves to say this, like he don't want his running back carrying the load. He would rather have a 1-2 punch than to give his starter every carry.
I've gone in on this exotic smash mouth of the Titans. I think it fails. I think when you go all in on a philosophy like this, it might work in September, but the league will figure it out.
No.
Defenses will adjust. And then we'll see if Mariota can make the adjustment back. When they do start stacking it up, can Mariota now throw it over your head?
Well, I'm going to tell you the issue with that, and it kind of goes back to this Colts ownership of the AFC South. Everyone goes to three wide receivers. Everyone has a three wide receivers. You look at Houston, three wide receivers. You look at Jacksonville, three wide receivers or two tight ends. No one is coming back to that old smash mouth football. So if you look at college football, the reason Alabama and Michigan and these schools beat people is because you have DBs on the field all the time. You're starting – your base front is nickel, which is three DBs or five DBs, two linebackers and four D linemen, whatever you may have it. I'm coming out there in two tight ends. I'm coming out there two tight ends and a fullback. We're going to run down your throat, and we're going to force these small guys to tackle and beat you up. And I think with that being the case, Tennessee is going to go against what everyone else is doing, and that's what gives them a great chance and win the AFC South. And then plus the Colts, their biggest issue is they don't have an offensive line. And they finally decided to draft an offensive line this year, but now we want all these rookies to go out there and play all of a sudden. And we act like rookies, they can just, you know, not hit a wall or not mess up. That's gonna happen.
As much as we like to talk about the Patriots and the passing game, formation wise, they don't do three receiver sets. They have two tights, two receivers. Gronk is like a slot for him.
Yeah.
He can work the slot formation. Personnel wise, it's confusing to the defense. It's confusing to the defense coordinator. Do I put a nickel package, meaning take a linebacker out, put an extra corner in, or do I keep it base? Base meaning keep my linebacker in, take a small guy out. The jingle piece, as you would like to say, is Gronk. So, of course, they have all these fancy passing stats, but personnel-wise, it's such a mismatch because Gronk and now you have Bennett on the other side. They're getting back to the old school. it's just hard. And they figure that out, and that's a running formation.
I completely get it, and I like the notion of zigging when the league is zagging the way it is. I just think they've overcommitted. I think they've flown too close to the sun like Icarus here, and really they've dealt away pieces like Doriel Green, Beckham, and this commitment to this style that has not proven success.
Oh, it's
and,
proven.
And are
it's
they
proven.
Built?
It's proven. It's proven.
I know, but I mean, are they, I mean, no, in Tennessee with those, it's I'm proven. Saying, I listen. What do you think? I watched the Jacksonville Jaguars play that style of ball.
Pittsburgh,
I grew up in
play,
Pittsburgh and watched
play
it
that style and won a ton of Super Bowls.
I understand what that. I'm saying the Tennessee Titans may not have the personnel at this point to just go all in on this nature
it's,
of
it's,
ball.
It's not all in, Shaq. It's the production to help Marcus Mariota. That's the whole thing. Like, I don't want to put the load on this kid from here on out. So I got a guy who's tail-ending in DeMarco Murray. I just drafted a future running back in Derrick Henry. Yeah, I got rid of one of my best receivers, but at the same time, it's going to be a boring game. You know what? You know who Tennessee reminds me of this team in college? Boring, but they always win. Wisconsin. They rarely pass, play-action pass. Run the ball. So boring. We're yawning every time. We're yawning. You don't even want to watch Wisconsin
play.
They
beat LSU.
But 14, them kind of games are going to be with
the Tennessee
Titans.
How about when Pittsburgh let Plaxico Burress go, right? And you talk about Hines Ward, and granted, Hines Ward had a really good career. But before that, no one knew who Hines Ward was. I mean, he was a solid receiver. He wasn't the guy that
he was
a
slot receiver.
Yeah, he was a slot guy. And so when Pittsburgh, when you guys won the Super Bowl in 2005, you had him and Randall L. as your wideouts.
Well, I certainly – I'm not going to
– Let's just be honest.
I'm not going to make a case that you need to have a so-called, you know this dominant number one wide receiver.
I mean, they lost, but they got the – I mean, Carolina Panthers.
All right, so let's get to it then. Colts ownership of the AFC South. How say you, Doctor on Call? The Colts dominance is over with. We just spent 5 minutes talking about the Titans. That's the team out of the other three teams in that division that I believe the least in. I think the Jags are better than the Titans.
No question.
And I think the Texans are better than all of them. The Texans are, at worst, in my book, the third best team in the AFC.
I tell you what, them Allen boys.
They have to find a running game. If they can't run the ball and close out games, they won't win.
You don't like Chris Ivory and TJ?
It's not that. It's their offensive line. The running game is a lot of people, it's a mixture of both. But if you don't have an offensive line, you won't be able to run.
All right, we got to get to Chuck Todd here in just a second. And when a kibitz with him, you know, his Jags or his Packers are playing your Jags this weekend.
Oh, yeah, guys.
Oh,
once again, it's time. The DDIP Surprise Random Game Show.
All right, lay it on us. What's the question?
All right, question today, based on the Cowboys and their quarterbacks. Troy Aikman retired in 2000, the year 2000 afterwards. Since then, they've had 17 different starting quarterbacks.
Whoa, I like this question.
Kent Brown, original here.
Hold on a second. I legitimately have to – I'm going to pee my pants if I don't go. You'll notice I'm sweating.
Are you serious?
That gives you a chance to do some work.
Can we keep this live?
Yeah, we can do it. Yeah. Let's go.
We got it.
Yeah, we'll run it.
All right. Well, guys, let's just keep it live here. So we're going to start. Sheck has no idea what's going on
only,
now.
Only in the Sheck show.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a beautiful thing.
All right, guys, so let's start here. 17 quarterbacks have started for the Cowboys since 2000. Who you got? Who's up? Ike, you want to go?
Ooh, Tony Romo.
T. Martin.
Oh. Is that? No.
Dang.
T. Martin? I thought it was – or Quincy Carter.
Quincy Carter.
You know what? Sheck's not here. You're still in MJD.
Okay. All right.
So you went – you changed it up?
I'll switch it off to Kyle Orton. I'm sorry.
So can I say Quincy Carter?
You can.
Kellen Moore.
Hey, who they had last year?
That's who they had last year. Oh, they got a couple last year.
Oh,
go
they
ahead.
Had a couple last year. Oh, my gosh.
Matt Castle?
Yep.
Brandon Whedon?
Oh my God!
Wow, nice one, MJD. Pulled oh yeah, one. I'm pulling them all out. I got a bag right here. I got a couple more. Drew Bledsoe.
Since 2000.
Yeah, that was right. That was, I think that was right after Trey.
Bledsoe was 05 and 06.
There you go.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's a wrap. MJD, take
Jason Garrett.
No.
He didn't start?
No, not afterwards.
Oh man.
So, Ike, you got anything?
No.
All right, here comes Sheck. Sheck's coming back in. He can jump in here.
We ran off a bunch of names.
Hey, did you wash your hands?
Of course I did.
No, don't touch me.
All right, I'm just trying to.
All right, Sheck. Name some Cowboys.
You guys really carried on without me?
Yeah,
we did.
That makes my feel. That hurts my. Now I know how Teddy Bridgewater feels.
We got time. We got to go.
You're going to go on with the season without.
No, it was like MJD's story. It's you look to the sideline.
Has
we
somebody
coming
said
to help
Quincy
you.
Carter yet?
Yeah, we said that.
Yeah.
Kyle Orton.
We said that.
Yeah. Already said.
Keep going.
This is since Aikman, right?
Since Aikman.
2000. Since 2000.
Drew Henson.
That's a
wow. That's a deep one.
That's deep.
That's deep. The old pitcher, old baseball player.
You went. Oh, you went all the way. You went deep on that one.
Do I keep going?
Yeah, I think Sheck should have to get a couple more right answers.
How about Jason Garrett?
I said that one. That one's wrong.
I thought that was wrong. That was wrong?
Yeah,
that was wrong.
Then how is Maurice even still alive?
We were waiting on you.
We're waiting on you. We had
warm-ups. They got a couple mulligans.
Ryan Leaf.
Ooh. Really? That's solid.
Let me see. Boy, you going all the way.
That was a sneaky
one. Leaf was 2001.
Gosh.
John Kitna.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
There we go. Sheck's caught up now with right answers.
I mean, caught up. I mean, I haven't dominated.
Is there 17?
They did some dominating before.
There's 17? Wow.
There's six more left. Six more left.
Did anybody say Tony Romo?
Yes.
Yes.
That's the first name I said, Tony Romo.
That would have been great if you would have forgot that.
Are we allowed to go Dak Prescott, or since it hasn't happened yet?
No,
we
can't
do it?
Not yet.
I'm trying to think.
Why? This one.
We're even now. We're even.
Yeah,
we're in the good.
It's back to Ike now since he started it off. So six more.
Oh,
everybody's
man.
Alive.
Man, just to get out, I'm going to say Mike Irvin.
I got bored.
Ooh.
Let me check.
I can't think of one, man.
Trying to think of who was there along with Aikman and
Who was after Bledsoe?
There is one Super Bowl winning quarterback that you haven't mentioned.
Brad Johnson.
It's not Sheck's turn.
Brad Johnson.
It's not MJD's turn.
It is my turn. Let's go, Sheck. You got
that. That stinks. I don't care. I've proven my dominance.
No, you did.
Well, who do you got?
It's you. I just went.
Yeah,
Brad Johnson, you got to go.
That's absurd.
You can't just say stuff.
That hurts my feelings. The way I'm being treated right now. What about guy who's on the border of the Hall of Fame?
Throw it out.
A guy named Vinny Testaverde.
Oh.
Oh. Wow. Back to you, Maurice.
I don't have anything. I'm done.
You spent.
I'm spent.
My dog said he's spent.
Damashek is the victor. Then. Who did we miss?
All right, who we missed? You guys missed Randall Cunningham.
Wow.
Started for him in 2000.
Randall Cunningham.
Chad Hutchinson, 2002.
Okay. All right.
Stephen McGee, 2010. Clint Sterner
from Arkansas, right?
And Anthony Wright.
Anthony Wright.
I should have gotten Clint Sterner, but I have zero recollection of Randall Cunningham in a Cowboys.
Whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, before we get to Chuck Todd here, one thing. We're very excited for Maurice calling those Rams games now or doing the color on the radio. With J.B.
Long.
J.B. Long, I'm sorry, on ESPN Radio here in Los Angeles. But, I suspect that this runs for the next quarter century at least. You know, look out Chris Collinsworth eventually.
Oh, MJD is doing his thing.
He's I mean, really legit.
He's doing
legitimately. I would just say nothing. If I didn't, I thought you were doing a crummy job, I would just say nothing or be like, hey, keep going, fella. But you're doing great work from what I've heard. Really insightful stuff that you don't generally hear in a radio broadcast. But I think to stand out, you got to get something special. Like, you know, it's not as much about how deep you can go a lot of the time. It's just about surface kind of junk. You need catchphrases. Let's take a listen to Maurice's call of a Jared Goff touchdown pass and see if we can help him out with some catchphrases here. Here's Maurice first.
Second and five from the 10. Goff in the shotgun. He throws to Brown. One hand back shoulder catch. And he's in for the Los Angeles touchdown.
Great job there. That is what we like to call a whale route. You have your X receiver pick the linebacker that's covering the back.
Look at that.
You have him run a wheel. Great catch, though. I mean, who knew running backs had hands?
Right there? Okay.
I mean, obviously I did, but I'm saying great choice there, Jared Goff, throwing it to your running back.
So there you have it. Well done. JB, by the way, give JB a little note for me. You can't be so excited about a game in August.
Very.
Because then where are you going to go in January? Where's left to go in the register?
It's you know the scariest thing in life is being unemployed. So the man is employed, and he's excited.
That's the enthusiasm we're hearing?
And he's excited.
I tell you
So what, why not?
The Rams are back in L.A. We have to have the excitement.
I see. But it is just August. So, all right, either way, it's not time to critique him.
Gotcha.
We need a catchphrase for Maurice. On a touchdown, maybe. Maybe it's when somebody makes a great run. You know, maybe it's an interception. Ike, let's talk touchdowns. So what might Maurice say that would stand out from the pack?
MJ gonna figure it out, man. Like we can't give him words. Making no words is like a spur of the moment kind of thing. So MJD, he gonna get in this groove. Somebody gonna make a long run, and he's gonna say something not out of character. Just fits what happened on that play, and you take off with it.
That's the way I think.
You can't script it.
I feel like all three of us and Handsome Hank, when he's with us too, I think that's what we all agree on, is that we'd rather go off the cuff than we would plot these things. But I want Maurice to win sooner rather than later. So if we can help him along, let's try. You be Ike, you feel be Maurice, and I'll be JB Long, the play-by-play man. Let's try that one again real quick here, if we can. Let's do a play. The Rams at the Chiefs 10. Goff back, throws it to the flat. It's a touchdown for the Rams.
You know what? That was a good play in that situation. Giving them an easy read, a one read. You got the wheel route coming from the running back. A little pick play, man. But the catch, Sheck. The catch. Look at this. Hands like a receiver, but what position he plays? Running back, man. Not too many running backs can catch the ball like this. Look at the concentration. If I didn't know no better, man, I thought he was an assassin trying to catch that ball. Touchdown, Jared Goff for his first one in the city.
Wiki.
Wiki.
How about that?
Some wiki.
You like that?
I'm going to find something. I'm going to use wiki just because you said.
Ow! What sound does a ram make? Does a ram make a sound?
Not what you just did.
I think.
Yeah, maybe do that, Maurice.
I don't know.
I like when you go, ah! Maybe that could be your sound. Yeah. I like when you do that noise.
There was a couple. I want to say that was the Chiefs, right? They were playing the Chiefs. It was one of the harder hitting games I've seen in preseason. And I was like, oh, they're out there click-clacking.
All right. Okay.
Because
you heard it.
Yeah. Somebody's game got woke up, too. It was bad.
See, now we're doing. See, that now we're heading with it. Two straight phrases. File those away.
Like somebody's game got woke up.
Yeah, you wake your game up.
You can't steal from Ike, but one of his best on a great hit is to say, that's disrespectful. That's somebody's daddy out there.
That's what I got to use. I'm going to steal it, but I'm going to shout out to Ike.
Got to give it
a shot. I'm not going to plagiarize it. I'm going to be like – Ike in quotations.
All right. Ike Taylor, great to see you. We look forward to watching you on Now all the time with the Fashion Popo and Celebration Station and everything else. Maurice, hang out for a bit because we're going to go to Chuck Todd, but I want you to kibitz about the upcoming week one matchup between your two teams. Here he is, everybody, Chuck Todd.
Dave. Dave.
I am very excited for this one. I watch Meet the Press every Sunday, and I now watch it multiple times a week on MTP Daily, 5 p.m. Eastern is how you do it. He's the NBC News political director, and He is a Green Bay Packers fan. It's Chuck Todd. What's happening, man? How are you?
Dave, how you doing, man? It's so good to have football back, huh?
It is good, but of course, I'll tell you, usually, I mean, I really enjoyed, personally, the Pittsburgh Penguins really helped fill my offseason. Stranger Things did, but I got to tell you, I've been watching a lot of Chuck Todd and company covering what has to be the craziest political race in the history of America, right?
There's no doubt. I mean, it is when sort of infotainment merges with the news and merges with politics and what we have here. And look, there's going to be a lot of fallout from this election, but it has given us sort of a supercharged atmosphere when it comes to this election, in some tabloid ways, in some unsettling ways sometimes, in some humorous ways. But yeah, it is certainly something we've never seen before. I keep telling people, I think this is a black swan election. We'll never see anything like it, at least in our lifetime. And we probably don't need to learn anything from it as far as having an impact in the future. This is just an entity that may be self-contained because we'll never have a matchup like this again.
Yeah, it really feels like, maybe the natural evolution. Of course, this is where things would wind up, given the love of pop culture and such.
It's funny you say that. That is sort of, this is, as we've deteriorated, as we've sort of merged the idea that news people are and politicians are sometimes are somehow just as important of celebrities in our culture as entertainers or sports figures. And when that all gets merged, yeah, I guess this is the natural evolution of things. But I also wonder if the public's going to look at this and say, whoa, this was too much. You know what? We want our politics over here, more serious. We want our entertainment over here, and we want our news over here. I don't know. And unfortunately, the consumer is responding, and they sort of enjoy the idea that it's all one big stew here, whether we're covering Kaepernick, Donald Trump, Tom Cruise, or whatever it is, that it's all part of the same news rundown these days.
Well, let's jump in on that, the pseudo politics of Colin Kaepernick. And as a matter of fact, to conflate him with Trump, I'm surprised that we haven't heard more of that, as a matter of fact. I mean, Colin Kaepernick, a backup quarterback in the NFL, states essentially that there are some flaws with America. A presidential candidate also states there are flaws with America. Also, by the way, for what it's worth, one guy is named Cap and he wears a red jersey. The other guy is from Jersey and wears a red cap. Does that make sense, right? Is that
You're sort of getting to the almost the absurdity when I've watched the debate about Kaepernick sort of reach some heated levels. I'm sort of like, what do we, and we're debating Kaepernick. And rather than the topic he's bringing up, which is, let's have a conversation about the topic. Look, there is a... It is, to me, it's between Kaepernick and his employer about what he does during the pregame festivities. And I think there is a debate about a private organization, and they may have demands that if you choose to be a member of this organization, you choose to be paid by it, you have to do certain things that we ask you to do. But at the end of the day, you don't lose your First Amendment rights either. So, look, there's that aspect of this debate. But let's not, like, conflate it with the other part of the debate that he's trying to bring up as well. Look, I think the bigger impact here, it's Kaepernick, to me, was being reactive, not proactive. He's being reactive because you have a lot of star athletes that are saying, you know what, this generation of athletes is going to speak out. The last generation chose not to, chose to make money, chose not to upset the apple cart. This generation has a different mindset when it comes to using their celebrity, using their fame to bring attention to political issues. And it's just a change. And I think Kaepernick, in some ways, is just reacting to what we've seen with LeBron James and Chris Paul, some bigger names that have decided to lend their stardom and their credibility to some controversial political topics.
Wow, very open-minded of you, given what Colin Kaepernick has done to your Packers on a couple of occasions in January there. So so good for you.
Yeah, well, there you go. See, also, I want to separate my politics and my football. I separate it. I really do.
Well, let's talk about this then. Let's say compartmentalize this, Chuck Todd. Would you rather you can choose who wins the presidential election or Super Bowl 51, which one do you want to choose?
I am such a, this is going to sound hokey, I'm such a believer, in our democracy. It's like, hey, it is. I don't want one person deciding anything. So presidential election, that's up to the public. Now, the Super Bowl, yeah, I'd like to take control of that.
All right. Well,
so, yeah, that is one lever I will pull for Aaron Rodgers needs at least one more Super Bowl victory for whatever phony legacy purposes people think that he needs. But I want him to get it just so that he gets the proper due that that belongs to him.
Well, phony or otherwise, I say over and over again, he's the best I've ever seen. And if he wins one more, I think he then maybe has claim to being the greatest to ever play the position. You've been doing a lot of polls, of course. This is a big portion of what you do. So let's do a couple of polls here. Chuck Todd, where do you rate yourself among the best Todds in the world? There are a lot of good ones out there, and some bad ones too. There's Sweeney Todd. He has a low popularity rating for what.
Well,
he
for
did.
Me as a kid, growing up in Miami, believe it or not, where a lot of my friends were Dolphins fans, the Dolphins fans couldn't stand the Jets. And remember, there was a little rivalry in the '80s where they actually, I think, back-to-back AFC title games, and the Jets were quarterbacked by a guy named Richard Todd.
Of course.
So to me, that's always been the Todd I've measured myself against athletically, and I always thought. I could have thrown two interceptions to A.J. Dewey, too, in the 82 AFC Championship game, just like Richard Todd did.
Look at that, an A.J. Dewey drop from
that
is Miami.
I'm out.
That was pretty strong stuff there. Yeah, let's see who the polls favor here. You're pretty high up there, Chuck Todd, in there. I think right now, though, America votes you just behind Todd Gurley, I'm afraid.
Oh, well, see, that's a first name, Todd.
Oh, no, you know. You pulled
it
out.
That's not fair.
Yeah. You pulled it out, though, man. You beat him out. And then Mary Todd Lincoln down there at 8% right now. Yeah.
That's a big one. All I can tell you is that every story about her being a little off kilter, all my dad and grandfather used to say is, more proof she's a Todd. That's like, great.
Yeah, well, and it's also she suffers from the what have you done for me lately syndrome there.
There
best Packers QB of the Super Bowl era. How say you?
Oh, it's not even close. It's Aaron Rodgers. I know that Bart Starr won two, but both Favre and Starr had better teams around them than I think Rodgers has had, and even for his one Super Bowl victory. So, for me, it's Aaron Rodgers.
I am with you. Let's check the poll here real quick and see how America's weighing in here. Brett Favre in a runaway, 59%.
Yeah.
That seems to be the more popular opinion, but I'm 100% with you. Brett Favre
Look, he's the guy I want to hang out with, right? Right? Who's the guy you want to party with, right? You're partying with Starr, Favre, or Rodgers? I'm probably partying with Favre.
I guess, yes. If I have to go on a long drive across the country, I guess there are more antics await with Brett Favre riding shotgun.
Right. I mean, he's the guy that says, hey, look, there's a stop sign falling down. Let's take it. You know, he's that guy, right? You know, let's go get it. That'd be cool to have.
I like where your head's at on that one. You've thought it all through here. All right, last thing then, Chuck Todd. And I wonder on Sunday mornings, once it's football season, are you able to fully focus? Are you ever like, let's wrap things up here, Fel. We got a big game today against the Bears.
No, you know, it's interesting for me is I do have we're done. We tape at 9 a.m. live on Sunday mornings, and it airs at sometimes at different times for other people. I'm at home sometime between 10:30 and 11. And so for me, 11 to 11:45, all I'm worrying about is my fantasy lineups. And then from about 11:45 to 12:30, I may or may not be looking at the betting lines on certain games, which, of course, the NFL – the most overbetted sport there is. It's hard to get any hidden lines or discounts or any good bets. But that's how I do wait till the work is done. But it starts at about 11 o'clock.
I don't even know what those words that you just said even mean. I don't understand.
You're right.
Who is your best fantasy guy though?
This year, I can tell you this: if I'm going to win my fantasy league, it's going to be. Lamar Miller has to come through in a way that others don't necessarily expect. I've got a lot going on Lamar Miller as carrying me a long way.
Savvy play there, I suspect. And speaking of great running backs in the NFL who played in the AFC South, seated right next to me now, Maurice Jones-Drew. You remember him from the Jaguars. I don't know why we get presidential music for him, but either way. his Jaguars play your Packers. You like debates. The big debates are coming up between Hillary and Donald in a couple of weeks here. In the meantime, why don't, for fun, Chuck, you tell us why the Jags are going to win, and Maurice, you tell us why the Packers are going to win. I start with you, Maurice.
Why is it that way, Chuck?
Because I'm raising the bar a little bit here.
I personally feel like, I guess if I have to take that stance, they do have a guy by the name of Aaron Rodgers, who's a very good quarterback. Real dear friend of mine as well. Played against him a bunch in college. You know, hopefully Eddie Lacy drops a couple pounds before the game so he can run a little bit better. You have Jordy Nelson back. Other positives are Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers didn't cheat, and the Al Jazeera report was false.
Ouch.
And so I think they're – and then plus they have two UCLA Bruins on their defensive line, and that there says enough – gives them enough of a chance to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Your retort, Mr. Todd.
Let me just triple check. Game's in Jacksonville, right?
Yes.
Right. Yeah, that's what I thought. Well, that's number one. I've seen the Packers lay plenty of eggs on the road at 1 o'clock games in the state of Florida. So I think there's that. You have the humidity issue. You can't deal with that. I love Blake Bortles. The guy is getting better every year. And his best receiver, I'm a little bit biased on this, but I love Allen Hurns. He was a guy that was a University of Miami guy, totally under, you know, would have been a bigger deal at the University of Miami had they had a quarterback to match the talent that Allen Hurns had in college and has now. And I say this not just because my wife went to Florida State. I love Jared Ramsey. I think he's the best. I think he's the best player in this draft. I think he was the best player. I think he's going to be the rookie of the year. So the Jaguars are going to be a team that I think flirts with the playoffs. So this scares me a big time for Green Bay going on the road, playing a 1 o'clock game in Jacksonville.
And the Packers might get distracted and blinded by those hideous helmets that the Jags wear too. Maurice,
Chuck,
the debate is over.
Let me ask one question.
Yes.
Chuck Todd, did you say you want to party with Brett Favre? That's like the most Wisconsin thing I've ever heard. What about the lineman that got caught cheating a while back that was like the big lineman, the big draft guy?
Well, there's a couple of them. I think some of them would actually get you in jail though, right?
Well, if you're not going to go to jail, why do it? Right.
Well, there you go. But I think the question was of the three quarterbacks, Bart Starr, Brett Favre, or Aaron Rodgers, which one would you be partying with?
Neither. I like the big lineman that was doing all the bad stuff.
We got to get when the political season or when the election ends, maybe we could get Maurice and Chuck Todd going on a drive across the country. That would be something I would watch.
Hey, MJD, are you nervous? What's going on with Southern California football? UCLA and USC.
Yeah.
What's wrong?
It's, you know, right now – It was a tough weekend, but it's a long season. I think we'll be okay. I don't know about the other school, but I know UCLA, we have a chance to bounce back next week. I don't know about the other school. I'll let them do their own stuff.
Yeah, you're not defending them. I wouldn't be defending them either.
Yeah, that was a dodge. Yeah, it's a long season, especially when you're not in contention for the Final Four. Hey, Chuck Todd, what a pleasure. Thanks so much for doing this, man. Good luck to your Packers in 2016.
We will
certainly be watching you on Meet the Press as the election draws ever closer. And hopefully we can do it again soon sometime.
That'd be fun. Thanks, Dave. MJD, it was an honor.
Same
there
here.
He goes. The great Chuck Todd, everybody, from Meet the Press. That was something, huh?
That was. Look at you.
That was fancy.
Look at your fancy.
All right. That's it. What a banner episode of the Dave Dameshek football program. We'll be back with you on Thursday, moments before kickoff of the 2016 regular season, Maurice. We made it. We made it, everybody. We'll talk to you in a couple of days. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.